Living on Earth needs your support to be heard each week. Kindly give what you can today by using the donate link to the left of this page. Thanks.
If you were a coral reef, you couldn't find a harsher environment than the Persian Gulf. Surface water temperatures can reach near 90 degrees, and there's the world's saltiest seawater and intense coastal construction. No wonder an estimated 70% of all reefs in the Persian Gulf have died, and the remaining 30% are on the brink. But scientists believe those tenacious reefs that do remain may hold a valuable secret. Reporter Ken Shulman traveled to Abu Dhabi, capital of the United Arab Emirates, to learn more.
A 16-foot whaler carrying a team of divers plows through the choppy waters off Saadiyat Island, a sandy man-made landmass just north of Abu Dhabi City. The skipper counts down in Arabic and eyes his GPS as the boat nears its target, a coral reef some 30 feet below.
I'm going to get you to work on the tiles, and I'm going to go off and get some tissue samples from corals. It is cold.
John Bird is a marine biologist at New York University's campus in Abu Dhabi. He and his team from the Environmental Agency of Abu Dhabi make quarterly visits to 10 reefs off the Emirate. They want to chart the health of the corals here, but unlike reefs in other parts of the world, these corals have never had a checkup.
They were never really properly documented, so part of what we're doing here is setting up a baseline, figuring out what the conditions are of reefs here now, so that we can go back and look at them every 3, 5, 10 years and then find out, are they improving, are they in decline, and identifying what are the potential causes of those changes.
If you dive or snorkel or just watch Animal Planet, you know how vital coral reefs are. They cover less than 0.1% of the ocean floor, but they host more than 25% of all marine species. In a healthy reef, the bright blue, green, and red hues come from a type of algae called zooxanthellae. These algae live in symbiosis with the coral. Through photosynthesis, they transform carbon into tasty sugars for their host. The corals get fed, the algae get a place to live, and everybody's happy, until they start feeling stressed.
What happens under stress is that due to different events, and in some cases temperature, the corals actually lose their zooxanthellae, or their algae. This causes coral bleaching, in which you notice whitening of the coral.
Swad Al-Harthy is a scientist with the Environmental Agency of Abu Dhabi, or EAD. She explains that coral bleaching occurs when sudden drops or spikes in temperature cause the zooxanthellae to produce toxins instead of glucose. Sensing danger, the coral sheds the algae to save its skin. But it's the skin that's the problem. Bleaching leaves corals hungry, it also leaves them white, and dangerously exposed to sunlight. If the event is short-lived, the coral can recover.
If the conditions of stress remain for a prolonged period, it might then lead to their death, and then they won't actually be able to recover, and then it ends up being overgrown by other things.
Corals are under stress in every ocean on the planet, but the Gulf reefs have it tougher. In the tropics, water temperatures may drift a degree or two between winter and summer. Here they careen from the low 50s to the high 90s. Intense evaporation leaves these waters incredibly saline, so salty that most species don't survive. One by one, four divers plunge into the wind-wrinkled water. Half a mile away on the shore of Saadiyat Island, battalions of construction cranes and earth movers shape the skeleton of what will become Abu Dhabi's cultural center, a cluster of world-class museums, resorts, and universities. After 20 minutes, the first diver returns. Ibrahim Abdullah is a former army officer. He says human activity has also impacted the reefs here.
When they do the dredging, you know, the current just carries the sediment and lands on top of the corals, and sometimes they suffocate. Just like any other living creature, you cover them with sand, sediment, plastic, anything, then they get suffocated, yeah.
A second diver returns with a stack of ceramic tiles used to attract juvenile corals. Soon a third comes aboard with a monitor containing 3 months' worth of temperature readings. Already reeling from a 1-2 El Nino punch in the late 90s, Gulf corals took another body blow last summer when water temperatures soared above 100 degrees and stayed there. The heat bleached much of the dominant species, a branched coral known as Acropora. Yet the news today from the bottom is encouraging. According to EAD scientist Edwin Grandcourt, the Acropora here off Saadiyat are coming back.
The same species in other locations would die at these temperatures. So the coral reefs we have here in the Arabian Gulf are adapted to this extreme environment. So by the book, coral reefs shouldn't be here for sure, but they are, and they've adapted.
Abu Dhabi may seem an unlikely environmental laboratory. The oil-rich, flamboyant emirate is barely as old as the global environmental movement, but Abu Dhabi is catching up. The environmental agency has a voice in most significant development decisions. Private corporations are also getting into the act. Adil Albuainin is general manager of Dolphin Energy, a natural gas supplier that sponsors the coral research. Dolphin Energy changed the course of its 200-mile gas pipeline from Qatar to help preserve reefs.
During the project execution itself, during even the detailed engineering of the pipeline, there are a number of revisions, a number of changes because of original route was, you know, going through a coral reef, and that has to be redirected and change the route just to make sure that there is no damage then.
The EAD laboratory is sandwiched between a fish market and a jet ski rental store on the Abu Dhabi waterfront. Inside, NYU's John Burt places coral tissue samples from today's dives in plastic jars. Later, he'll inspect each one for size, color, and texture. As corals normally spawn on the full moon, and with the full moon just 3 days away, he'll also be on the lookout for eggs and sperm. The Canadian-born scientist finds the corals in this gulf astonishing.
A hot bath in your home is 40 degrees Celsius. So when you're talking about 38 degrees Celsius and corals are living through it, it's a remarkable story in terms of the story that it could tell us about climate change and its potential impacts or non-impacts on reef systems.
The Environmental Agency researchers know that Gulf corals are surviving in conditions that should kill them, but they don't know how or why. The secret might lie in the proteins corals secrete to protect themselves during bleaching, an organic sunscreen in a new long-lasting formula. It might be a new chapter in the relationship between corals and their zooxanthellae partners. Whatever the elements, Burt and his colleagues believe the story, when written, could help reefs everywhere survive and prosper. For Living on Earth, I'm Ken Schulman in Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates.
Coming up, highways become skyways in the not-too-distant future. Stay tuned. It's Living on Earth.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation and Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.